This episode of Life and Books and Everything is brought to you by Crossway, publisher of The Biggest Story, Holy Bible for Kids. When children are ready for a Bible of their own, there's lots of Bibles to choose from. And one option here to capture their attention, help their understand God's plan of redemption, is this Biggest Story, Holy Bible. It's perfect for ages 6 through 12. The Bible includes the full text of the ESV, a number of other features, colorful three-page book introductions, digging deeper sections near the end of each chapter to recap the passage, and other things that prompt kids to apply God's truth. So you can pick up a copy of The Biggest Story, Holy Bible for Kids, wherever books are sold. You can go to crossway.org/newkidsbible to learn how you can get 30% off with a free Crossway Plus account. We also want to thank our friends at Desiring God for supporting the podcast. It's that time of year where many people are going through Advent books, Advent readings, Advent devotionals. Here's another one to consider. It's from our friends at DG. Dawning of the King. This is a five-part email journey to help us reflect on how Christ's titles as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace meet our deepest longings. You know, coming from the team at DG, this is going to be meaty yet accessible, full of good theology, good for the head and the heart. Each Sunday, a new resource explores one of Christ's titles, so it's not too late. You can make up the ones that have already taken place during the Advent season. You can read them, perhaps get those and read them for the next days leading up to Christmas as we remember the coming of our King and the coming again of our forever King. You can sign up for this Advent email journey at desiringgod.org/dawn. Greetings and salutations. Welcome back to Life and Books and Everything. I'm Kevin DeYoung, senior pastor at Christ Covenant Church, and this is the long-awaited Christmas end-of-year episode with my extremely, extravagantly special guests, Justin Taylor and Colin Hansen. This is the episode, beloved by some, tolerated by many, where we are just going to talk about what we want to talk about, all things Christmas, and we'll talk about books, I imagine. I have some questions that are interesting and others that are not, and we will see where the conversation goes. So if you are doing the dishes, baking a ham for Christmas, and you just need some pleasant chatter and banter in the background, this is for you. If you think such things are a waste of our time, perhaps a waste of life, then I apologize. And you can go on to, I would listen to Sinclair Ferguson for a few minutes in his podcast, which will be very edifying. We were just talking about, surprisingly, Nebraska volleyball. Heartbreaking loss. Justin, are you a passionate women's volleyball fan?
I am not, but I am an admirer of Nebraska women's volleyball. I mean, really, for those who don't know, it's just an incredible program. They haven't lost a match since 2024. They're just an elite program. Yeah, and they lost yesterday. So whenever I tune in at the end of the year and they're like Final Four, they lose. So I think I'm the common link in their rare losses, but. Yeah, and for a sport I don't follow, it is genuinely very action-packed and crowds into it, elite athleticism. So,
yeah, you would think, especially there in Nebraska where they really fill up a stadium, doesn't happen everywhere. I mean, every point there's things getting spiked and digged or killed, and there's a lot happening. You think it would be a sport that people could get into, unlike my sport, track and field. I saw that Michael Johnson's track series that he started up just filed for bankruptcy. So LBE listeners are not doing their part to fuel the track resurgence other than the Olympics. Colin, do you have a lesser known sport that you would like to give a plug for?
Scandinavian hockey or something.
Can we talk about curling here? Is this where we discuss?
No. We get to our curling jokes next year.
Okay, that's right, because we have the Winter Olympics coming there. I have to say, volleyball is pretty impressive. It's very fun to watch. My high school, shout out, Chester Area High School, is a dominant South Dakota Class B volleyball program. State title after state title after state title. So, grew up that way. My parents played volleyball.
About 12 or 15 schools in the Class B there?
I'm sure there's like 24 at least. I mean, there might be a couple
They'd
more.
They probably
I'm not
drive
sure.
13 hours to each game.
Yeah. Well, you have to remember.
We own the tallest Shetland ponies in the county.
Hey. They're pretty impressive. I enjoy tuning in. And remember, South Dakota, we don't consolidate schools. We stick with our schools to the very, very bitter end, even as they decline. So Class B hanging strong. Way to go, Chester Flyers.
And Colin, how did you feel when you married into Alabama and then you just decided, you know what, I guess I'll root for Alabama? I mean, that was in football. I mean, that was nice, since you were saddled with Northwestern.
It's true.
You feel like cheating?
Do you feel guilty that you also like the Chiefs? So you basically are just living the prosperity gospel of professional sports.
I can't say yesterday was very pleasant for me with Mahomes tearing his ACL. So it's not the best time to be talking about that. Oddly enough, Northwestern's last Big Ten title was 2000. That year was the year I met my now wife. Alabama had been preseason number 3. They had a terrible year. They lost homecoming. It was really bad. The first number of years I was cheering for Alabama, that was Mike Shula, that was Dennis Franchione. They had one coach, Mike Price, they hired. He never even coached a game. I went to his practice, and he never even coached a game. That's one of my Alabama fandom claims to fame. But I think I'll share a funny little story here. When I visited my girlfriend at the time, now wife, my now father-in-law hands me a VHS tape and says, "Don't come back until you've watched this." And it was a history of Alabama football. So it just gives you a sense. I wouldn't really describe it as an option. I think it was a package deal. If you're going to marry the girl, you're going to get the program. So I figured she's more than worth that, and Nick Saban sweetened the deal.
Yeah. Who was it who said Paris is worth a mass?
Right.
Yeah, your daughter is worth a VHS video. Right. Was it a high-quality video?
Well, it was just one of those, history of Alabama football, why the Rose Bowl, the story of the South, all that sort of stuff. I mean, if you like history, I like college football, what could go wrong?
I found myself last week not going down a dark place, going down a happy memory lane on YouTube when I realized you can watch all of the 1985 Bears games they're like 25-minute games condensed. So I just when she was out and I was supposed to be watching the kids, just found myself distracted watching a few 1985 Bears games. I almost said when I was babysitting the kids, when my wife goes away, the kids say, "Is Dad babysitting?" Which my wife, that's on her list of grievances, is, "He's your father. He's not babysitting." But yeah, it feels that way when you get. But you get Chick-fil-A or you get Bojangles. I mean, you get something happy is going
to
happen when
Dad's in
charge.
And you get to watch Jim McMahon.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we're with the headbands and yeah, it's great. Justin, how cold is it in Iowa today?
It's not bad, except for the wind.
And the humidity's coming in?
Yeah, in the summer, it's not bad, except for the humidity, and winter's not bad unless it's the wind.
But. Is this on the signs when you roll in on I-80 into Iowa? It's not bad, except for the wind.
No, it just says, "Welcome to Iowa, living the dream," is what it says on this.
Are there still signs that say field of opportunity?
I think there are. Yeah, Nebraska, a couple of years ago, I think they had their official tagline, like, "It's not for everybody." And Scott Frost was like, "Guys, we need to come up with a different way to sell the state, because It's true, but maybe we don't want to lead with that.
I think it's all relative because it's better than what South Dakota's motto was for a while.
Which was?
Remember this. The meth, we're on it.
that's right.
Governor Noem's famous
drug campaign.
It was a sign of great things to come.
I thought maybe
just look around.
I know. You could do Mount Rushmore. It's better than you remember.
That's true. It's better than you think. Kevin,
crazy
we
horse.
Even,
it's crazy horse.
Finished.
It will never ever be
it
done.
Will never
no,
be
No, I'm
finished.
Growing up as a kid, seeing just thinking, man, can't wait till they finish that bad boy.
Right. Christ will return before Crazy Horse will
crazy horse.
Be completed.
Be part of the new heavens and the new earth will be the completion.
Is anybody working on it? I mean, can you go out there? Is there like one day out of 10, somebody's got a chisel and
just one guy
scaffolding?
You could volunteer for it. Kevin, have we ever had an LBE when the Bears have been really good?
No, this is on my list of common grace blessings. I was in my sermon yesterday, I was preaching on the Magnificat and talking about joy, of course. And I said, joy reveals the heart. And I said, it may be a good exercise to go home and ask your family, what makes me happy? And so my kids came up with two things. They said, when the house is clean. Yeah, I guess so. And they said, when the Bears win.
So you're never happy.
Yeah, well, the Bears, and when the Bears win. So we are... Up until this year, my kids would just say, Dad, why? Why couldn't... In fact, they've said before, why weren't you born in Kansas City? Why couldn't you have... We've never lived in Chicago. We have nothing to do with it. Every week after they win on the way to school, like this morning, I'm playing the Bear Down Chicago Bears song. So yeah, it's pretty exciting. Let's hope that... I don't know when this episode is going to air, if it's going to be before or after the Packers game, but let's hope we make it to the playoffs. It's been an exciting run for us Bears fans this year.
They're fun to watch, too. I mean, it's fun to see Caleb Williams come into his own. And the Bears, even when they've been okay in the last 25 years, they haven't really been fun to watch necessarily.
Well, they've always had even the few years they're in the playoffs, you think, that really you didn't deserve that. But they're rounding into form. Justin, are you an authentic Bears fan? Or you are, but you're more of... A Nebraska volleyball fan, really?
Yes, more into the women's elite sports than professional football. Yeah, when we were in Minneapolis for several years, never went to a game, but was a Vikings fan by default and then Chicago fan by default. But I try to keep the Sabbath holy and not watch secular recreation on those days. No, my son is a diehard Bears fan, so... I watch it from a distance, but he's more into it than I am.
Just make it to, you know, we're going to evening church, whether the Bears are playing or not. Might be better if it wasn't on, but in the background during the afternoon. But it's good if you need to take a nap and put you in a good mood, at least yesterday. Okay, Christmas. We are going to talk about Christmas. I have just some... A poll for you. Let's see how you can do. This is according to a 2023 Yahoo poll. I assume this is of Americans.
Is this like best, Family Feud?
Is yeah, this is like Family right Feud. Best. So I was trying to figure out the most watched Christmas movies, but it's hard to get an accurate, you know, what counts as most watched. You just, you know, cable streaming, but they're somewhat similar to this. So this is best Christmas movies. Give me what you think, according to this poll, by average Americans, what they rated as the best Christmas movie.
Let's say Elf or It's a Wonderful Life. Two
said it's
very
a wonderful
different
life.
Two very different movies.
It's a Wonderful Life is 7. Elf is 5.
Okay.
Christmas Story.
White
Christmas,
Christmas
Story is 2. White Christmas is not in the top 10. You're missing an obvious one at number 1.
Not Miracle on 34th Street.
Main character named after me.
Oh, okay. Home Alone.
Home Alone.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so here's the top 10. You tell me Like it, don't like it. Home Alone?
Good one.
Like it.
Good. A Christmas Story.
Acquired taste.
Overrated.
I think I loved it as a kid, and it has aged well.
It's one of those, you remember the, you're going to shoot your eye out, you remember the tongue pole. To the flagpole,
yep.
And then you sit down to watch it, and you think, well, that's 2 good minutes. There's a lot of other weird things going on here. Charlie Brown Christmas Special, of course, good. Rudolph, with the little, what is that? That's not claymation or something, but
that's true.
A little scary. Elf. Elf is on pretty much constantly. Yeah. I like to watch Elf. Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, the some more sanitized version.
Yeah, you sit down to watch that with the kids, and you forget what 80s movies were like. It's just a different time.
Yeah, you want to watch the made-for-TV edited version of those.
It's a Wonderful Life, of course. Do you guys watch that every year?
Yeah.
I know every year, but somebody said it's not only their favorite Christmas movie, but favorite movie of all time. I mean, there's just, it feels fresh every time you watch it, which is a really somewhat unusual, magical thing.
How does it still access your emotions that same way?
Yeah, that's what it does. You get to the end when, he's putting the banister back on and he's a changed man, and they're singing Hark the Herald. It still gets you. It gets this cold Dutchman's heart.
You ever watch the Saturday Night Live version with Dana Carvey playing Jimmy Stewart? And...
the lost ending?
Yeah.
Where they just beat the tar out of Potter.
The whole town comes together and sings the Christmas Carol after they beat him.
Did you ever read the article? I don't know if it was in National Review or where it was, but somebody writing that Old Man Potter actually had understood economics a lot better than George Bailey. The way they ran the savings and loan was no way to really... Yeah, that's there's some truth to that. My family hates me bringing that up.
Who could have written that article?
Yeah. The Santa Claus, I've never seen that, comes in at number 8. Is that the Tim Allen one?
I've seen the trailer. But.
I don't know. Miracle on 34th Street. And then Die Hard. Is it a Christmas movie? Okay, next Family Feud while we're playing. This is, according to some other source, the most listened to Christmas songs. I don't know what they're doing. Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube. I don't know how they're gathering it all. What's number one most listened to Christmas song?
It's got to be Mariah Carey, isn't it?
No? Also ranked as the most annoying Christmas song. But yes, All I Want for Christmas is You. I am a little embarrassed.
That's on blast at the DeYoung household.
I was going to say, I am a little embarrassed. I don't mind the song. I don't mind one month out of a year. Do you hate it properly, Justin?
No, not... You guys sing it as a choir at a Christmas Eve service at Christ Covenant?
Yeah, we have handbells. We have Santa outfits. We do that. Okay, it's sort of a medley with Ariana Grande.
The handbell version.
Okay, are you guys true Midwesterners? Did you play handbells like I did growing up in the Methodist Church? Colin, you had to have.
I did not play handbells, but there were a lot of handbells in my church. A lot of handbells.
Yeah, so we did... just this fall, I spoke on our senior adults retreat, which was great fun. I don't know, there were 150 or something of our senior adults. And so I was the speaker, and our 4 youngest kids we took out of school and came with us. And they thought it was fun, and the seniors thought it was great fun to have them there. And one of the seniors pulled out a set of handbells, and my kids were mesmerized. You just you grab one and you got your G, your B, and they were playing a few different Jingle Bells. That's an easy one, but some other songs, and you're just locked in waiting for your dong, dong. I mean, it's and then you got we definitely had them at, they were called at first Reformed in Orange City. What were they called? The Genevan Ringers. And they wore white gloves. Any shout out? Any Orange City folks listening to this, you can let me know by email if they still exist.
They did shows with the Kenosha Kickers.
They did. The Geneva Ringers and the Kenosha Kickers. Next up, Jingle Bells, Santa Baby. You like that? No? Let It Snow, Run Rudolph Run, Blue Christmas. I do like the Elvis Blue
There's
Christmas.
No Kelly Clarkson in here underneath?
No,
the
I'm surprised. No, I don't know where this list. This was slated. This was jaundiced toward Mariah Carey. A Holly Jolly Christmas, wonderful. Last Christmas, I'm surprised. Oof. Last Christmas is number 10. I think if you just did YouTube views, there's Last Christmas, Mariah Carey, Kelly Clarkson. They're like in the billion views. What a time to be alive.
What a time.
There's
been all this talk, Kevin, about Gen Z revival. Are you thinking maybe handbell revival? Gen Alpha?
Yeah, well, if they do it in the Orthodox Church, people will suddenly it's manly and you got
a
patriarch with a beard. Yeah, ask Roger Ear if he's what he does with handbells. Viktor Orban was bringing handbells back to Budapest. All right, this is a great LBE we have going. We come now to the much ballyhooed. We will not end here because we have many positive things to say, but it is a listener favorite, the airing of grievances, an ode to Festivus. I know I do hear from people, why do you do that? That's not what Christmas is about. I get that. We'll end on a positive note, but how often do you get to air your grievances publicly? Not enough, I say. Colin, I bet you have many grievances.
I got some grievances.
All right. What?
I do.
I have, I almost said six or seven, but that would be one of the grievances.
That would be a grievance.
But I have a few. So why don't you give a couple of them? We'll just go around the horn, see how these grievances go.
I'm gonna start with all internet-themed grievances, okay? So this is grouping. Do you want cookies? Yes, I absolutely do want cookies, but that is not what they're ever asking you. Why do we now have to accept?
Yeah, what happened?
I know there was some law in the EU.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I saw it when I've traveled overseas, but now I guess every website everywhere. Do you want cookies? Yes, but less.
Do you really feel safer? Do you feel safer in life that every time you click on a website, you have to go down to the bottom and say accept all?
Yeah. So
that's a good one.
That's one of my grievances.
That's strong.
Five-factor authentication. Why stop at five? Let's just keep going. Now, I do love not losing my identity, but seriously, where are we stopping with the authentications here? I've been locked out of so many sites, I can't find anything. Oh, man, this is only going to get worse with time. And my last one, and greatest of grievances, Microsoft. When you ask me, do you want to stay signed in?
Oh,
and
yes.
Do I not want to show this again?
For 45 days.
You are lying on both accounts.
I click it every time.
I am never signed in when I come back. And you show it every single time. Microsoft, you are on my list this year.
Yeah.
And closely related to that is if you plug in your phone to your computer, the computer that you use every day for the past 10 years, do you trust this computer? Yes, I continue to trust this computer. It's the same computer that I plug my phone into every time.
Is that kind of like the USB when you get it's a 50% chance, but you get it wrong 100% of the time?
Mm-hmm.
Also yeah, even that. When you switch it the second time. Yeah, how am I still wrong?
I'm wrong the first time. I'm wrong the second time. This does not make any sense.
Oh, I know. Okay, I have some because I may have to take two turns. I'm almost certain I said this last year, but it just is there every time. It's sort of cheap to do airline grievances, but when they say in the speaker, when you're sitting there on the plane, and we do this all for one reason, you. Every time, I almost text my whole family. They just said it again. You are not doing this. That is not the one reason. In fact, if I were not on the plane and my money had paid for the seat, you would be happy to be doing this. I just want a little honesty. You could say we are doing this for several reasons, one of which is you. Or we're doing it for one reason, you and the money you pay us. You're a business. You're not a charity. You are not doing this for me. And I know this is the greatest credit card promotion in the history of all airlinedom that you are offering at a decibel level of 11 right now for us. And you're just, this is going to go fast. We're coming through the aisle. We're going to run out of, then everything in me says, if you want me to have this credit card so badly, I should really stay away from this. I guess I just know people on credit cards. I mean, is that what keeps airlines afloat? Is it the credit card promotion? Okay, there's my airline one. We probably talked last year too about tipping. I always feel torn about this. You go and you know, I'm getting a tea for my wife, and the person helping turns just they turn the little, you know, credit card scanner. They just turn it around. Now, do you want to give a tip? And about half the time, I think, well, I could give you $2 more. You probably need $2 more more than I do. And I hit that automatic 10%. And then the other half of the time, I think, this is not right. I worked at Meijer, third shift, bottle return, $4.25 an hour. Nobody tipped me. I didn't ask for tips. A tip would have been find a new job. Okay, so tipping. How about this? No offense to my children here, but that everyone is now your bro. This has been building for several years. Can you imagine calling your mom when you were growing up, bro, can I have some scrambled eggs? Or calling your dad, bro?
It's the mom part. It's the mom part that really throws you off.
But it is like, you know, in the Midwest, just saying you guys. It is gender non-specific. Everybody is bro, bruh. Or how about when texting with adults? Okay, I give kids and Gen Z a pass. They didn't learn how to think or do anything. But, you know, let the reader understand, those professionals who still text you with cuz, as C-U-Z, through, as T-H-R-U, or are throwing in ampersands. Come on, just
my mother-in-law, I love her, and I don't think she's going to be listening to this, but she creates her own shortening. So could is C-U-D, and it's like it's kind of hard sometimes to figure out what does that shortened form mean. But I do love her very much.
And here's the last one, which is sort of throwing the baton to Justin. But how about when non-fancy people have to eat at fancy restaurants? So Justin and I were both, Colin, you were not at ETS this year?
No, afraid
so
not.
So Justin and I were in Boston. It was great to be in Boston, great city. And Justin said, hey, we never see each other in person. Let's go, went out to, you know, a fancy restaurant there in the Back Bay, Italian, something that I think Justin pronounced like, is this, I'm looking for focaccia. So as the two of us Midwestern rubes sat down, it was so dark in there. I think I had to turn on my iPhone light.
We both had our iPhone flashlights on looking at the menu.
You know, I don't think it was in English. Now, Italian should, you know, make sense, but unless it's spaghetti or pizza, it gets a little confusing. And, you know, the fancier the restaurant, the fewer the good soft drinks, because they want you to get wine or something. So I don't even know if I dared to ask for Mellow Yellow. That just felt really...
No Mountain Dew Code Red? That's the real test.
No, or the Red, White, and Blue Patriotic
Baja
Mountain
Blast.
Dew. No, Baja Blast is really good. No Mellow Yellow. And we ordered... Now, I have to say, they were delicious, but the server came, and I just said right away, I said, I'm sorry, ma'am. We are not very fancy, and we don't quite know what we're doing.
And we're not going to tip, apparently.
But could you tell
you
me
get a dollar.
About these gluten-free, it was Justin looked for something gluten-free. I appreciate that. Good friend. These gluten-free mozzarella sticks. You want to take it from here, Justin?
Well, the most important part from the restaurant standpoint is that the mozzarella sticks came smothered with caviar. So we said, could we get the mozzarella sticks, but could you just put the caviar on the side? He said, no problem. So we ordered two orders of mozzarella sticks with caviar, caviar on the side, and the caviar sat there the entire time as we enjoyed our mozzarella sticks. And I have to say, they were as good as Applebee's, which I think is the gold standard for mozzarella sticks.
No, they were gluten-free, and you couldn't even tell. And I would say they were as good as Arby's. I mean, if you want to just bump it up a notch,
yeah,
the Arby's mozzarella
definitely better than Burger King's mozzarella sticks, which should not even be called mozzarella sticks. It's an insult to the name.
I urge Justin to just you know, put a little something in the caviar. Just make it look like we tried it. But they were very good, so credit to that Italian restaurant. I have a couple more I'll come back to, but Justin, you have any grievances?
Yeah, your airline comment reminded me of a lot of my grievances are somewhat pseudo grievances. They don't truly bother me, but here's one that genuinely, like, irrationally gets me upset is the people on the airline that were getting off, and I'm just going to make a beeline to try to get off of the airline. And I understand if you got to have a connecting flight, but these people get off and then they just sit and they wait another line and just think, did you not learn when you were in kindergarten? Like, I'm in front of you. I would like to also get off the flight. And so don't rush ahead. So I always, if I have a aisle seat, try to have my elbow or knee in the aisle. So to make it
strategically placed.
Exactly. Yeah.
Learned that in basketball rebounding.
Exactly. Yeah. We probably mentioned before saying right at the end of every sentence. It's a verbal tick that even very smart people do, right? Mm-hmm. That is bothersome. It feels manipulative, like you're trying to get me to agree with what you're saying. People who tell stories who say, have I told you this before? And if you say, yeah, you know, the one where you, and then they proceed to tell the story. I'm not going to
keep going.
Mention anybody by name. People who refer to their mom as mom, not my mom, when telling a story. So mom came into the room, like,
she did.
That's not her name. My mom came into the room. I called my mom. I didn't call mom, but I do wonder if that's a Midwestern thing or if that's regionally located. Vacation stories. I just read a really provocative book both of you would like called Story Worthy.
Halfway through. Thank you for the recommendation.
Yeah. You've gotten to the part on vacation stories.
Yes, I did.
Uh-huh. Which is, number one, nobody wants to hear your vacation story. Number two, if they do, they're being polite. Number three, nobody wants to hear your vacation story. So my dad, who doesn't listen to podcasts, loves to tell where they went and everything that they ate and how they paid $80 for the motel room and the hotel room. And it was great. They'll go back again, but in detail.
I'm loving this after the caviar story, by the way. It's even better.
That was a good story. We didn't, tell you about the chips and salsa that we loved.
Yeah. Isn't there a line from Dumb and Dumber where the lady who's talking all the time says, I won't bore you with, but I won't bore you with that story. And he just says, thank you. That's a line that would come in handy. We want to take a moment to thank our friends at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary for their support. Greenville is a confessionally faithful seminary helping to train pastors for ministry in NAEPARC churches. That means these are conservative, reformed, and Presbyterian churches. So URCNA, PCA, OPC, ARP, and others, they love to train pastors. They've also started a new podcast called The Dead Presbyterian Society. Some of my best friends are dead Presbyterians. The goal of this podcast, led by Jonathan Master, president of the seminary, friend of mine, is to listen to voices from the past, historic Presbyterian pastors, and what wisdom they may have for issues today. Each episode starts with a brief biography and then some application for today. We also want to mention our friends at Reform Theological Seminary, where I have the privilege of teaching theology and pastoral ministry and sometimes church history. Love serving here with the brothers on faculty here in Charlotte and across the RTS system. Reformed Theological Seminary offers both residential and hybrid Master of Divinity programs. That hybrid is a good option for people to knock out some of the classes. And of course, whenever and wherever possible, there is nothing as good as in-person learning with real flesh and blood human beings and your professor. You can have the flexibility with the hybrid MDiv to get some of those courses done online, some week-long in-person intensives, and to help you pursue your studies without relocating. And of course, they have campuses throughout the country, and I lose track, 8, 9, 10 different locations, and you can check them out at rts.edu to learn more.
Do you have time for a 5-minute phone call? Never, ever takes 5 minutes. I mean, I look at the phone, it's like 35 minutes later, and the phone call will never take 5 minutes. That's another one. No,
or they start, is now a good time? Not really. Okay. Wait,
but any other time would be worse. So.
And cold calling is an annoyance for me. Maybe that's just me, but just calling me out of the blue, just assuming that I have time to pick up.
That's very like a millennial Gen Z of you. Oh, I see.
Yeah, who just calls? Yeah, when someone calls you, think this was either an accident or something really bad is happening.
Somebody called me yesterday. I picked up, and he was so shocked. He said, I didn't expect you to pick up. Why'd you call? I don't understand.
Yeah, I just wanted to leave you a message.
I said, I can hang up, and you can then just call back, and I won't pick up.
Yeah, just pick up an answer and say, is everything okay?
True.
Speaking of the mom thing, Colin, I assume this is in Alabama like it is here in North Carolina. It's taken me a while to get used to people, grown adults, referring to their father as daddy.
Yeah, that's quite common.
Yeah, very common, daddy. Like, that's
I don't know how to explain it. I've never heard any explanation.
I mean, it's
it.
Sort of endearing. My kids are not picking up on that. Like, my kids are going the other direction. One daughter always says, "Yes, father." So what? Nobody? What? It's in the 20th century.
You know, it's
going to
be bad when they start calling you Kevin, though.
Yeah, no.
That will not be good. I got a few more, Kevin.
Good.
Okay. All right. Dashboard warnings on my car that I cannot shut off. I don't need an oil change. This is a racket. I know how long it takes, but you will not let me get rid of this dashboard warning. This one, I think.
Yeah, I have a question for you, Kevin, Colin. Do either of you drive new enough cars? We always have such older cars. The warnings, maybe
no
Kevin
warnings.
Does need
the light bulbs have burned out on the dashboard.
It just literally looks like a light bulb right there. Kevin, do you have the ones that say, did you check the back seat to see if you left a child behind?
Yeah, I just got a
you
new
probably need
car.
It, but
no, that's not where you leave them. You leave them at home. That's happened. In the back seat, or that every 5 minutes they're flashing, do you need a cup of coffee? Is it? I don't know how to turn that off. I don't drink coffee. I've been in the car for 5 minutes.
And that's fancy car.
I'm going to harness the power of AI to figure out how to shut off my dashboard warnings. That's the true use of AI to solve unsolvable problems. I think you guys will relate to this one, especially in basketball season. Trying to find Big Ten games on streaming. Now, using YouTube TV does make it a little bit easier because you can tag your team and whatnot, but how many different networks are we up to now? We got 8, 10, 12. I mean, this is only Peacock streaming on our app. I mean, who knows? Maybe that's also just mostly Northwestern.
Yeah, I signed up for Big Ten Plus, too. Ooh. Which was, yeah, that's...
That was a mistake.
Yeah, no offense to those hardworking young people out there, but it did look like a little bit like a class project.
That might have been a mistake. Yeah. And now, admittedly, my last one here is rather niche, of the genre of things that probably should have been left in the LBE group text. But glowing New York Times profiles of inclusive Scandinavian bishops who do yoga and wear dreadlocks. How many more glowing profiles do we need of the genre of not your grandmother's religion anymore, when in fact, no, it literally is my grandmother's religion now, and nobody cares. I'm so sick of these profiles, and yet they just won't die.
Yep, no, I appreciate that. I mean, you know, they're still doing the profiles. Pastor in jeans.
She wears a shirt. It says pastor on it. And she has dreadlocks. Can you believe it? She's also a bishop. Yeah.
I blame the Scandinavians personally.
I mean, you combine the Scandinavians with the New York Times, and bad things. Bad things happen.
All right, we will. Any more grievances, Justin? We're coming up to the 40-minute mark. This is amazing.
Oh, podcasts
amazing
that go
is
too
one
long.
Way to put it.
Podcasts that go too long. This is the room for too much nuance.
Yeah.
Podcast.
Sorry, Sean.
Yeah, sorry. I was gonna say when gluten-free is an aesthetic, rather than just trying to give me something to eat, so people. No,
my culture is not your costume, Kevin.
Yeah,
the point
no,
here?
No. I mean, I love Lou Malnati's. I learned this summer last summer at Crossway. Now we order these. This is amazing. This is on my list of opposite of grievances. Just how good shipping has gotten. You go to the Taste of Chicago website, and they're just like the next morning. Sometimes you just want to say, like, it's okay. You can. Just relax a little bit. We're having 3 or 4 Amazon drivers to our house a day. And we just feel like apologizing. I'm sorry that they got in 4 different shipments, but they're sending out gluten-free Lou Malnati's in the dry ice in the big box a few days later. Amazing. So that's what I want. I want, give me the real food I like and make it as close to that as possible. I don't want grain-free, dairy-free cheese. I know there are people that have all those things too. So when people come out at a restaurant and I have to always say, I have celiac, it's so annoying. And then, oh, we have a gluten-free menu. I want to say that's going to have all the things I don't want. What I want to ask you are the things that are good, normal food. Can you make them? So it's usually, can I have a cheeseburger? And the first thing it says, we have a gluten-free bun. No, I did not say that. I want meat, cheese, a side of bacon. Can you? I think you heard me say a lot of bacon. I said all the bacon.
All the bacon.
You have.
All the bacon.
So I appreciate
it. It is embarrassing, though, to be with Kevin at a fancy restaurant and he asks if you have gluten-free Twinkies or Hot Pockets.
Yeah, that does happen
often.
I've
been on the convenience store trips with Kevin.
Justin and I were recently with Jonathan Lehman, and we were at a restaurant trying to order the soup of the day, which was quite a hoot too. The soup du jour, I'll have that. But it was
sounds
great. He kept saying, "What's your soup of the day?" The server said, "It's excellent." Well, what is it? I think it has chicken. Well, then the next server came. Could you give me the soup of the day? I'm not sure I have that, but it's so good. Want me to go? No, no. And then finally, I think it may have onions. I mean, we had several different iterations of the soup du jour, none of which were consistent with the other.
By the way, do you think we could get Taste of Chicago to be a sponsor of LBE?
Yeah, if you're listening.
That seems pretty appropriate. Lou, if you're out there, sign us up.
I was glad in the O'Hare Airport, you know, they got a section in the bookstore, Chicago. They have a whole book on the history of Lou Malnati's. It's only 50 years old,
I know a guy who grew up with Lou's son, and I was there at the first opening, and I was like, that would be a great story. Talk about story worthy stories. Like, I was there at the opening day of Lou Malnati's.
Northwestern had Tino Malnati on our team. That was a good time.
That was a good time.
For Northwestern basketball.
Okay,
not a skinny kid.
Offensive lineman
playing basketball. Yes, but
yeah. Hope you like to have your hand in the dirt, son. You don't need to learn how to run a wheel route. Books, life, and books, and everything. We've done a lot of the everything. How about some books? Tell me now, Colin, you just did. I always appreciate your end of year top news story wrap up. TGC did their book awards, which is I just did my, you know, favorite books of the year. But looking ahead, what are you reading coming into the new year, or what new releases in 2026 are you looking forward to, Colin?
Yeah, I'll share three here, and I think these will all be of interest to this crew and LBE viewers and listeners. All maybe we're up to about a dozen or so now. Carl Truman's Desecration of Man, very much looking forward to. I have a copy of it, but I'm just in the beginning there. Also, then, I mean, if we have a patron saint of LBE, it's got to be Alan Gelzo,
yeah.
I think. So looking at his Golden Thread Volume 2 on Western Civilization coming out next year, very excited about that. And then some will be familiar with Freya India's work for the Free Press and places like that. She's especially one of the top writers, younger writer, and one of the top writers about young women. All sorts of important and often disturbing things that we're learning about just what it's like to be a young woman growing up in this era. And so she's got a new book coming out called Girls. Looking forward to that one as well. So those are three that are on my list for early in 2026.
I had Carl Truman on the list also, and Alan Gelzo. I mentioned on my blog, I'm reading Matthew Spaulding's book on the Declaration. So I'm going to be all in on 2026, 250th anniversary.
We need a special episode, Kevin.
Yeah, we will. I've read his stuff before, and it's a good history/intellectual history walking through the Declaration. So I'm enjoying that. Justin just mentioned The Story Worthy, really interesting book. You know, a lot of it wouldn't be applicable to preachers, or your preaching wouldn't be what it should be but there are definitely insights in how to think about communicating with people and telling a story. So I'm about halfway through. I'm also reading, hope to write just a brief article about it in the new year, kind of like I've done differences between Mormonism and Christianity, differences between Roman Catholicism and Protestant beliefs, where I'm not really arguing for our side, but just trying to put out what the difference is and let people see. So I feel like I want to do that for Orthodoxy. So I've read, you know, Timothy Ware's stuff before, but this classic book, The Orthodox Church, An Introduction to Eastern Christianity, really, I think he wrote this when he was maybe a young man or a seminary student. It's over 50 years old now, but you can tell why it is the go-to book if you're new to Orthodoxy or you want to learn more about it. It's about half history, half theology and worship. It's a little over 300 pages. So I'm obviously not converting to Eastern Orthodoxy, but and have read things about it and from it before, but this is a good introduction. And I was thinking, we have so many books on Reformed Christianity that cover these things, lots of Reformed history, lots on the five solas, the 5 points of Calvinism, Reformed theology. So there probably is something, but I just wonder, do we have something like this? Just here's the go-to 350-page book, Reformed Christianity. Probably it's easier to have the go-to book when there aren't nearly as many people writing books on the subject. It's easier to be the go-to. So I'm enjoying that. And one other book I know is coming out the middle part of 2026. I never know how to say his name, Simon Sebag Montefiore. He's, you know, written.
Don't look to us for that help.
Yeah, yeah. I think he went to school with Carl. I think Carl knows him, but very fine British historian. He's written on Stalin and the Romanovs and history of Jerusalem. But I just saw he put out on Twitter, he's finishing a book called The Cauldron on the history of the modern Middle East. So that should be a good book that perennially we need to read about and understand. Oh, and Crossway book is Chris Bronze has a new book coming out on forgiveness, is it? You know, he wrote that book a number of years ago.
This one's on repentance. So the previous one was on forgiveness.
I forget what, same kind of topic. I appreciate the last one hoping to have him on LBE in the new year. So looking forward to that. What else do you have from Crossway or others on your list, Justin?
Yeah, interesting little anecdote about that. Rosaria Butterfield was working on a book on kind of popularizing Thomas Watson on repentance, and she wrote the foreword for Chris's book, and after she read Chris's manuscript, she abandoned her project. Mm. She's like, I think we've got the new go-to book on repentance, so that's encouraging. Yeah, you guys took one of mine, which is Alan Gelzo's. If I get a bonus at the end of the year, I'll be able to afford Alan Gelzo's second volume.
Here's hoping for a good year of Crossway Publishing.
Exactly. Yeah. Two that I just got on Audible and have started listening to, Augustine the African. Audible had a sale that was only $2. So it's a new book, but a Latin philologist going back and rereading Augustine's corpus through the lens of his identity as an African. And it seems to be really thoughtful and interesting that racial identity for him plays almost no part in any of his writings, but his perspective as an African and his identity and the way even in which he was mocked for his accent and couldn't pronounce certain things. And it just seems like a really interesting and responsible treatment and illuminating. One I hadn't heard of before, I don't think, Noah Tishby. Noah is a woman. She's an Israeli. I don't know if either of you have heard of this. Israel, a simple guide to the most misunderstood country on earth. Seems like a really interesting and helpful book, and I need to bone up on my history of Israel. So, and, you know, others, we think similarly. You guys are both smarter than I am, but I finished Gales of November and Joseph Smith, which I think both of those made your top 10 list, Kevin.
Yeah.
And just re-listened to Remains of the Day. I don't know if you guys have ever read that, but I think it may be the most perfect novel I've ever read. Not long, just amazing that this Japanese-British young man at the time, it was written in the 80s, was able to embody 1930s British butler culture. It's a love story. Mm-hmm. It's about dignity, humanity, repression of emotion, and I don't really reread books, but that was one that I just think is almost perfectly crafted. Those are my books.
All right, let's finish this way on a positive note, and I want two or three simple appreciations you see around you. Evidences of God's grace, maybe common grace, maybe special grace. We've, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but our complaints, our pet peeves, our grievances. But where are you seeing blessings? Obviously, we want to talk about what Christmas is about and the wonder and the glory of the incarnation and all of the wonderful things that hopefully we'll get to do with family and church services and Christmas Eve and celebrating and Advent, so all of that, and feel free to mention those. But just thinking, do you have two or three, and I'll start, since I don't know if I mentioned this was going to be the way to end. But just one category, easy to spot for me, is I often say from the psalmist, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. And it took on new meaning when I was preaching through Joshua. And you realize, well, there really were lines that were given by God. And those boundary lines were their tribal inheritance. And so they really had to say, this was given to me by God. Now, we don't have, you know, property in the same way. But I think about a great church to serve with great people to work with, a school that is teaching my kids with academic excellence and forming them in really good ways spiritually, to have neighbors, friends, to work with great people at Clearly Reformed. I mean, just go down the list and think, surely the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. A second, much as complain about some of those, you know, the lack of customer service in places where I could tell some stories where people just, it's like you are trying to make me feel as dumb and as stressed out as possible. And by the other hand, when people do their job, when you see them, you know, whether it's a teacher, a coach, even somebody serving you fast food, and they are doing their job well, cheerfully, I think, I hope to be that and do that for other people. And if we have our eyes open, we will see not just the many grievances and small inconveniences, but those things. And then this will sound a little corny, but thankful for friends. I was at a retirement party for Bill Barkley, who I've known for over 25 years, was an intern under him in Ipswich, Massachusetts. He was teaching at Gordon College. I was at Gordon Conwell. In fact, Tricia, my now wife, was one of her favorite professors. And so I've told that story often. And he was retiring. And there's some health issues, so it was a little bittersweet that he's having to retire earlier than he might want to, but still in, you know, able to be there with his whole family and hear all of his kids talk about how much they love their dad. Just very, very moving. And here's what I thought: as much as getting old has its problems and things hurt and don't work and your eyes go bad and growing old, you're not the young person in the room. There's lots of things that are real hard, and we're just at that middle age. But I think here's a great thing about growing old. You can't have 25-year-old friendships unless you get older. And if the Lord gives me decades, that's one of the things amidst the inconveniences and hardships of and pain that comes with getting older, is to be able to look and say, I've had that friend for a long time. That's a real kindness, a real gift. Grateful for you two men. I think of a line that one of my friends said to me this year, and we were talking about just some different complicated friendships that could exist in our networks. And he said, and this is my paraphrase, something like, you know what, I'm at the point where I'm going to be friends with the people that are my friends, and I'm not going to lose sleep if that friend thinks I shouldn't be friends with that other friend. It's just so easy for that to happen. And it sounds, when you put it that way, it sounds like you're in middle school, but we all know that. And can feel that sometimes. Well, but that person that you're friends with, you know, did something to me, or I don't like them, or I don't agree with them, you know, and I'm not saying that you don't have to still think as, you know, a pastor or a leader, how you platform people, how you steward things, of course. But I thought that was a really good word. You know what? I'm going to be friends with that person and that person, even if those two people don't like each other and are suspicious that I'm friends. Life is too short. And if you have friends, try to cultivate, keep those friends. And even if you got some friends that aren't friends with those friends. Justin, what's on your list?
Good word, Kevin. Yeah, grateful for you guys' friendship too. I think another blessing that comes to my mind is parents. And sometimes, especially in the holiday season, we don't want always to lead with or highlight the blessings of having two parents who are still living. And for me and my wife, that's both the case. We live in Sioux City, where her parents and my parents are both alive and doing well. And we know that, you know, that's not true for everybody, and that's a heartache and a hurt for many people. But it is just a blessing to have parents who have stayed together and are faithful to each other, faithful to their families, are prayerful, will drop anything to care for you. And that's just, you know, it's one of those things when you're growing up, you just assume like, oh, of course you got a mom and a dad. And it's a great blessing in life to have the people who brought you into the world still caring for you, still rooting for you, still available for you. So this will sound like I'm trying to be humorous, but as I look out my window, the simple beauty of a Midwestern winter.
That's true.
God has graced the Midwest. He's given it limitations. It's not a destination vacation spot necessarily, but in the winter time to look out at the barren trees and to see the white snow covering them, there is a beauty in creation. You don't have to travel to exotic locations to see God's beauty in nature and all around us. So there's a simple beauty, I think, to the Midwestern landscape in the wintertime. And then the third one, which there's a self-interested aspect to this, but just the book renaissance that we're in, the publishing renaissance. There's a lot of things to complain about, and in any sort of capitalistic society, the freedom means that there's freedom to produce a lot of bad things, and there's also freedom to produce a lot of good things. And I think we very much take it for granted that we have so many good history books, so many good biographies, so many good commentaries. Kevin, I think you mentioned your top 10 list and the honorable mentions or the last part of it, Christopher Ashe's Psalms commentary being one of the best commentaries you've ever read. And I just think anytime I pick that book up, every page I'm edified, I'm instructed, yeah, I'm really encouraged. Good. And what a blessing to be able to do that. And we just assume, yeah, that's the way Christian life is. Well, you don't have to go back very far to not have very many resources and commentaries like that. So we're living in the golden age of book publishing, I think, and that's a blessing for bookish guys like us.
Yeah, hear, hear. Colin, bring us home.
Yeah, got a few here. I was talking to my wife about this, getting ready for the podcast, and I was asking her for help on the grievances because I figured she would have a better sense of my grievances. And I said, but I really am more drawn to the things that I appreciate, things that are going well. And I wonder, Kevin, if that's also something about getting older. You have to figure out how you're going to approach the sense of increasing alienation that you feel as you get older, because there are more things that don't make sense. When you're younger, you're naive to them, or you assume that they shouldn't make sense. But when you're older and you see younger generations and things change on you, and places that you used to go and people that you used to see, they're just gone, it becomes very difficult. And you end up in that situation. There was been a lot of debate lately on social media about Matt Walsh's comments about how everything is worse now. And that gets polarized and politicized and things like that. But it's really more about a challenging mindset that you bring to life and looking back, because clearly there are a lot of things that have gotten worse. But I reflect on what Charles Taylor says about nostalgia and about the opportunity to go back in time. Even if you did have the opportunity, you wouldn't. Because you can't really factor in all the things going on there. Just a few things that come to mind here. My friend Chap Bettis had written me an email the other day, and he said, you know, I love seeing pictures of your kids, and just a reminder, really appreciate this Christmas. Take this Christmas in, really take it to heart. And I appreciate that. It does help me to not be thinking about what's next, thinking about the next challenge, the next thing, but to really focus on that moment. I also like to think about God's providence is not just the things that we see, but the evil that he prevents from happening, the bad things that don't happen to us. When you have that mentality, it really does change a lot of your approach to what's happening in life. But three very concrete things I was thinking about. Japanese maples, especially this time of year, they stay so long, the colors are so beautiful, really amazing trees. Related to that, walking with my kids to school. Not everybody is able to do that for a variety of reasons. We walk about a mile each way to and from school, so that's a really fun thing to be able to do.
Is it uphill both ways, Colin?
Yeah, actually, yes, because we live in the mountains, so you're always going up. You're like, wait a minute, I got to go up and down that hill to be able to get back. Yeah, unfortunately. And then this one's related to something both of you guys have said, and I know I have shared this before here, but a pastor in our community just wrote me the other day, and he said, I know so many churches that do not have enough space for all the people who want to come to church. And I said, I think that list is at least 10 for me. And we're starting to solve that problem. It's a good problem to have, but it is a real problem. But I think of how many places that's not necessarily true, or there will probably be a time. And I don't just mean because things get bad in the future. I just mean that church attendance and things like that over history fluctuates. Mm-hmm. So there probably won't be a time where we think, yeah, the real issue here is that we have so many good churches, but not enough seats for all the people who want to come to church. Good problem to have.
Yeah, the United States is a really big place, and you can easily make the case with lots of examples of being post-Christian, and then you can go to a lot of places and talk to someone who's here from UK or from Europe.
Oh, yeah,
say,
exactly.
Oh, yeah, we'll take your post-Christian. This looks really, really good. So the Lord has given us many blessings. Thank you to our listeners. Grateful to Justin and Colin and their friendship for many years. And we hope that all of our dozens of listeners and our moms have a merry and blessed Christmas. Until next time, glorify God, enjoy Him forever, and read a good book.